Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter Telegram, read by Leah, Friday, February 10, 2023, Volume 94, Number 241. Small Bites, Where to Watch the Super Bowl, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles go head-to-head Sunday in the 57th Super Bowl. Backed by rowdy and die-hard fans, the teams will meet at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, both with a 16-3 record. Kickoff is at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Here's the 411 on where to watch Mahomes, Hurts, and the Kelce brothers, and a Chiefs victory in Midland, including drink and food specials. Champs Sports Bar and Walk-Ons, 4610 North Garfield Street and 4605 Whitman Drive. Although the establishments haven't announced any Super Bowl-specific specials or deals, both restaurants carry more than 10 large TVs and at least one giant screen, all of which will be playing the game. They both serve an array of alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks for friends and family under 21, as well as hearty football-geared food such as stacked burgers and fried chicken, sandwiches, loaded fries, subs, and more. Champs opens at noon and Walk-Ons at 11 a.m. Fare to Midland, 1115 Tradewinds Boulevard. The annual Super Boil Crawfish event comes back to the fair game-filled bar Sunday. Seasoned crawfish, accompanied by boiled potatoes and miniature corn on the cob, remain free to the public until the crew runs out. The game will be on TVs throughout the indoor-outdoor venue. The first drop starts at 2 p.m. Doors open at 11 a.m., 18 and up, and after party for anyone 21 and up after the game ends. Woody's Hideaway and Little Woodrow's, 5701 Starboard Drive, Suite 5, and 3415 North Loop 250 West, Suite 201. Since the two watering holes are owned by the same company, they'll both be serving the same specials. Catch the game alongside a discounted bucket of Carbosch Ranch Water. Also available will be beer buckets and the bar's signature Malibu cocktails, made with lime, watermelon, and strawberry flavors. For bites, the kitchen serves up perfect game day treats, such as wings, burgers, and more. Doors open at noon. Terrazita, 1501 North Big Spring Street. The recently opened restaurant will show the game on its giant HD screens, as well as have an array of ice-cold drinks, cocktails, and fresh food. Steaks, street tacos, seafood, sandwiches, chicken fingers for the littles, available for purpose. An after-party will take place following the trophy ceremony. Doors open at 11 a.m. The Tailgate, 4401 North Big Spring Street. The Step Brothers-themed Kelce Brothers Watch Party at the outdoor venue kicks off when doors open at 11 a.m. Food trucks will line up around the vendor area, and the bar will open and sling whatever inhibition you can dream of. Beer is available as well. And take a jacket or blanket for the sundown chill. VFW Post 4149, 409 Veterans Air Park Lane. Head over to Post 4149 for free burgers, wings, and drink specials. Kids are welcome, and the post asks to let them know ahead of time your party number so they can prepare accordingly. 432-684-9226. Although the food will be provided, any donations given will go directly to Post 4149. Doors open at 4 p.m. Susie's, South 40, offers local option for Valentine's Day gift by Ben Schaefer. Susie Hitchcock Hall, founder and owner of Susie's South 40 Confections, says her treats' freshness and quality set them apart from the treats inside grocery stores around Valentine's Day. Whether it's fudge, Winner's caramels, Kicker pralines, chocolate-covered strawberries, candy apples, decorated marshmallows, Oreos, Texas trash, and much more, Susie's factory cranks out tons of sweets every day for those looking to buy their partner a sweet snack on February 14. The Midland Chocolatier's treats are made fresh without preservatives. Shoppers' ability to handpick their candy combinations make them a quality local alternative to shopping at a grocery store, she said. It's handmade, it's very personal, Hitchcock Hall said. They can pick and choose what they want for that person. That makes it personal, and people want it to be on Valentine's Day. Whether they're buying for one of their kids or a grandkid or a significant other, they come because they can choose it for that person. The owner said her personal favorite item is the Fudge Richie. Hitchcock Hall started the business in her home in 1991, and Susie's South 40 Confections has grown exponentially since. I have a friend with a pecan grove south of Midland. He had 40 acres, and that's where we start out, 40 acres south of Midland, she said. She added that this friend wanted to do more with the pecans rather than just selling them on their own. Susie began adding them to chocolate products. Now a full-scale candy operation has grown that buys their butter, sugar, pecans, and chocolate by the ton. We make a lot of candy, she said. She takes pride in the fact that she built the business from the ground up and said, if you're a passionate business owner in Midland, the community will support you 150%. That's the way Midland is. It is a caring community, she remarked. Half of U.S. students falling behind. Report. Bloomberg. Nearly half of all public school students in the U.S. that entered the 2022-23 academic year are lagging behind benchmarks, according to a new Department of Education report. The National Center for Education Statistics School Pulse Panel report, published Thursday, shows 49% of students are performing below grade level in at least one academic subject, up from the 36% average of a typical pre-pandemic year. This year's survey garnered the largest response on record, with 1,026 public schools participating. The findings help quantify the impact the coronavirus pandemic has had on academic achievement in public schools. During the onset of the pandemic, many educational institutions transitioned to remote learning as the number of COVID-19 cases rapidly increased, and the decisions administrators made about remaining open became a political issue. Odessa man dies in Loop 338 crash, by Mercedes Cordero. A 33-year-old Odessa man died Wednesday in a collision on Loop 338 in Ector County, according to the Department of Public Safety. At 7:35 p.m., a Kenworth truck traveling southbound struck a Dodge Ram stopped at a red light at the intersection of Loop 338 and 8th Street from the rear. The collision caused the Dodge Ram to cross the intersection onto the northbound lanes and strike a trailer towed by a Freightliner. The passenger in the Dodge Ram, Felipe F. Oviedo Castillo, was ejected and struck a Ford Escape in the outside of the northbound lane. Oviedo Castillo was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the Dodge Ram was transported to Medical Center Hospital in a stable condition. Oviedo Castillo's seatbelt status is unknown, DPS said. Industry Works to Smooth Markets by Mella McEwen. Like oil and gas producers across the U.S. and the globe, Diamondback Energy has been challenged to increase output to meet demand and tame energy prices. Danny Wesson, Diamondback's executive vice president and chief operating officer, ticked off the challenges as he addressed members of the Permian Basin chapter, Energy Workforce and Technology Council. Low oil inventories and OPEC Plus that is squeezing at the seams to fit into their pants, and a few long-cycle projects. Growth will come from short-cycle projects, mostly in the U.S., he added. The demand outlook is uncertain and depends on what will come out of China and whether or not the U.S. economy heads into recession, he stated. We have used every weapon we have to smooth the markets, Wesson said, adding that if demand exceeds supply as expected, economies could be roiled by surging energy prices. For Diamondback, which made two large acquisitions late last year, he said the company is always open for acquisition opportunities, but it is also in maintenance mode, planning to keep production flat and drilling around 330 wells in 2023. With an audience dominated by service companies, Wesson observed that the sector is undergoing the same transition as exploration and production companies in focusing on fiscal discipline and returning capital to investors. Still, he pointed out, that is causing issues for the upstream customers. The thing we see as customers is a lack of investment in existing business to maintain quality and get the same great product as when business was slower. That concerns us as customers. Service companies need to invest in their business, invest in their people, in order to maintain that high quality of service. So when the call comes for us to grow, you can grow with us. He acknowledged that service companies are subject to supply chain issues, making it difficult to get the parts needed to do their work. Shoring up supply chains is important, he said. Wesson said he believed the regulatory environment will get increasingly difficult, but the company will be able to manage that environment. What worries me most is the workforce and attracting good people to the industry, he said. He pointed out that the pandemic changed people's view of work, prompting them to focus on a work-life interaction. In this industry, it's hard to transition to that work-life interaction, especially for people out on location. It's not that they don't want to work hard, they want the freedom to choose how and when to work hard. He said, this industry has never had to consider that, so we're having to think outside the box. That also means raising pay is no longer the solution. He added, as workers are willing to take lower salaries to work at jobs that let them live the life they want to live. Another concern is the retirement of industry veterans who are taking a lot of knowledge with them as they move on to the next phase of their lives. Wesson said, this upcoming generation of professionals needs to soak up as much of that knowledge as they can, and the industry needs to attract new and good people to what is becoming a high-tech industry. It goes back to being proud of the industry, being proud of how you do your job every day, he said. Taking pride is also important to helping the industry make its case that it's being environmentally responsible and maintain its social license to operate. That includes cleaning up their footprint or leave a better wake behind us, as Wesson puts it. If we leave a better wake behind us, there's no argument about the benefits that we provide, he said. AAA Texas, gas price drops in Midland, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices dropped across the state this week, but not as much in Midland, according to AAA Texas. The organization reported that the average price for a gallon of gasoline dropped 7 cents this week in Midland. That was 2 cents less than the average across the state and in Odessa. As a result, Midland is tied with El Paso, where the price dropped 13 cents for the highest average of the 27 metropolitan areas AAA Texas surveys. Gasoline price averages are, for the most part, following the price of crude oil, AAA Texas reported Thursday. The markets have many headlines to digest. The recent decision by OPEC Plus to maintain current production levels and not make any cuts led to lower crude oil prices, only to be followed by last Friday's blockbuster U.S. report of 517,000 jobs added in January, dropping the unemployment rate to a 54-year low of 3.4%, likely having the opposite effect. The price for a barrel of oil has been in the $70 range lately, down from the $80 range earlier this year. The $3.18 average in Midland is 7 cents higher than Odessa. Texarkana, also 3.11, and the College Station Bryan, 3.08, round out the five metropolitan areas with the highest averages. The cheapest gas prices in the state are found in McAllen at $2.89. The average across the state is $3.03. AAA Texas reported the following averages across West Texas: $2.98 in Abilene, a decrease of 19 cents this week; $2.97 in Lubbock, down 7 cents; $2.99 in San Angelo, down 8 cents, and $3.02 in Amarillo, down 10 cents. The price in Midland has dropped 16 cents in the last year, according to AAA Texas. The oil markets are clearly still very sensitive to daily economic news, leading to slight fluctuations in retail gas prices, said AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster in the weekly report. Crude oil accounts for nearly 60% of what drivers pay at the pump. Rising or falling oil prices can have a direct impact on motorists' wallets. Texas remains home to the lowest gas price average nationwide at $3.03. Mayor visits Trinity School Girl Scouts, Midland Reporter Telegram. Trinity School Girl Scouts, Brownies, and Juniors heard from Mayor Lori Blong on Wednesday about local and state government and how the city council and her office work to help them earn their democracy badge. The Girl Scouts also heard a presentation from Trinity School Junior Reagan Avis about her project Love Knots, which she has developed in an effort to earn her Gold Award. Inspired by the plastic straw knots her PJ's ties for his wife, Reagan strives to educate people that simply tying a knot in your grocery and plastic bags can help keep them from blowing away. MISD, Legacy High School Campus Was Never Threatened, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD reported Thursday that Legacy High School went into a hold status while Midland ISD police conducted an investigation. There was never an active threat to campus, MISD reported about an hour-long campus situation. The campus went into a hold status at 12:06 p.m. after a student reported to an administrator that they heard a suspect that police have been searching for might be on campus. Security systems showed someone who possibly met the suspect's description, but no one was located. This suspect is the same student believed to have had a gun on campus Tuesday, though possession of a weapon has not been confirmed, MISD reported. There is a directive to apprehend this student, and they have been added to the Midland Police Department's runaway database, MISD reported. Several Midland police officers were participating in a workout with the football team as part of a community relations effort today as well. When the hold status was enacted, these MPD officers assisted MISDPD in their search. The Department of Public Safety and a Midland County Sheriff's Office investigator also responded. Midland Police Department officials stated Thursday that officers were called out Thursday to a check person call at Legacy High School, and they didn't have any other information. MISD previously reported that this week that a student reported to an administrator that he or she saw another student had a gun in their waistband. MISD officials also said an extra officer was expected at LHS Wednesday, and the Midland Police Department was asked to do extra patrols in the area. Midland ISD reported that under a hold status, hallways are cleared and students remain in their classrooms until the all clear is announced. The hold status was lifted at 1:11 p.m. Thursday, MISD reported. MISD is thankful to everyone involved for their swift response, including MPD officers who assisted while they were visiting campus. Students play a valuable role in keeping our school safe by telling an adult immediately if they see or hear of a dangerous situation. They can also submit tips anonymously at anonymousalerts.com/MidlandISD. or MidlandCrimeStoppers.com, or by calling 432-694-8477. MISD, MHS student arrested for allegedly stabbing Legacy student, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD has confirmed that a Midland High School student was arrested on Thursday for allegedly stabbing a Legacy High School student. The student has been charged with aggravated assault and is set to be booked into the Midland County Detention Center on Thursday night, MISD reported. The incident is being investigated by the Midland ISD Police and the Midland Police Department, MISD reported Thursday. The incident is believed to have occurred near the MHS campus in the area of F Street and Ohio Avenue. However, the details of the stabbing are still being investigated. MISD also reported that the Legacy High School student who was stabbed was taken to LHS by a friend and was discovered by an administrator in the parking lot. Staff brought the student to the nurse, who administered first aid, and then the student was transported to the hospital. MHS and LHS parents were informed of the incident via call-out Thursday evening, Midland ISD reported. MISD thanks MPD for their quick response in making an arrest. We also thank LHS staff for assisting the victim. Additional counselors will be available tomorrow to assist those who might need additional resources. The investigation continues, and MISD will provide an update when it has more details. The stabbing took place off campus on the same day that Legacy High School went into a hold status while MISD police conducted an investigation. The stabbing was unrelated. There was never an active threat on campus, MISD reported about the hour-long campus situation. The campus went into a hold status at 12:06 p.m. after a student reported to an administrator that they heard a suspect that police have been searching for might be on campus. Security cameras showed someone who possibly met the suspect's description, but no one was located. Mr. Chips not closing as false social post claimed, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Speculation in a Midland Area Food Facebook page led community members to believe that Mr. Chips would be closing its doors Monday. However, this is not true. Owner Chip Height told the Reporter-Telegram, "We're making some changes over the next 90 days that will help improve the experience for everyone. I can't quite say what these changes are yet. We'll probably announce them toward the mid-end to the month, but one of the main changes will be table service. I don't think the counter service has been as well received as I expected or would have liked, he stated. Height said the changes will be implemented incrementally through March and April, and Mr. Chips will be open during the 90-day period for service. Based on information the business owner gave the Reporter Telegram, customers can think of these changes as necessary improvements to get more in line with the beloved Chip Height brand. We're making these changes just sort of as a response to what we feel has been the best feedback from lots of customers. We appreciate everyone's concern. Midland has been a great town to have restaurants in, and I'm very appreciative of the community support. Height also owns Opal's Table and The Basement. Obituaries and death notices. Larry Honeycutt, December 2, 1952 to February 7, 2023. Funeral services for Larry Travis Honeycutt, 70, of Roswell, New Mexico, was held at 3 p.m. Thursday, February 9, 2023, at Radcliffe Funeral Home Chapel in Seminole, Texas, under the direction of Ratliff Funeral Home, Seminole, Texas, officiated by Sheila Kennedy. Larry passed away February 7, 2023, in El Paso, Texas, surrounded by family. Larry was born December 2, 1952, in Panama City, Florida, to O.B. Honeycutt and Imogene Williams. Larry is preceded in death by his parents, O.B. and Imogene Lager, and Ruth Honeycutt, brother-in-law David Kennedy, and his grandparents Laverne and Paul Diffie, and Otto Buell and Marguerite Honeycutt. Larry is survived by the love of his life, Coyce Honeycutt, his two sons Justin Honeycutt and wife Vanessa, Grady Honeycutt and wife Brittany, his three sisters Deborah Wheeler and husband Jerry, Lakeitha Thorne and husband Grady, and Sheila Kennedy, and his brother Tony Laguerre and wife Brenda, his two children Camden and Brooks, and the third due in July. Travis Wayne Kendrick. Travis Wayne Kendrick, 74, of Midland, passed away on February 8, 2023, shortly after celebrating his 74th birthday, surrounded by family. Travis was born on February 3, 1949, in Slayton, Texas, to Gertrude and Mac Kendrick. He graduated from Slayton High School, lived and worked in Lubbock as well as El Paso, before settling in Midland in the 1970s. Travis is survived by his wife, Debbie Bell Kendrick, daughters Tonda Morehouse of Midland, Leitha and Alan Tamke of Utopia, Texas, and son Clayton Bell of Paint Rock. Grandchildren Safarin and Nick Fonfield of Van Buren, Arkansas, Tanner and Sydney Kendrick of Midland, Taylor Watson of Fayetteville, Arkansas, Colton Bell of Oceanside, California, Reagan Tamke of Divine, Texas, Beau Bell of New Orleans, Louisiana, Emily Tamke of Divine, Texas, five great-grandchildren, nephews, five other nieces and nephews, 17 grandnieces and nephews, and five great-grandnieces and nephews. Travis was preceded in death by his parents, Gertrude and Mac Kendrick, brothers Gerald, Judy Kendrick, Earl, Rose Kendrick. The family would like to express their deepest gratitude to the staff at MD Anderson, the staff at Texas Oncology, and the 7th floor nursing staff at MMH. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to gifts.mdanderson.org, texasoncologyfoundation.org, or stjude.org. There will be a visitation at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Friday, February 10, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Memorial service will be held Saturday, February 11, 2023, at 2 p.m. at Presence Church, 901 North Midland Drive. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Billy Byram. Billy Byram, 88, of Midland, passed away February 8, 2023. The family will receive guests from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, February 12, 2023, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, February 13, 2023, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, February 10th, 2023. Coming home. Gatlin offers insight on creative process. University of Texas Permian Basin students are getting a chance to learn songwriting from one of the masters, Larry Gatlin. Gatlin, part of the famed Gatlin Brothers, is a country and southern gospel singer-songwriter who has penned hits such as All the Gold in California and Houston Means I'm One Day Closer to You. Is teaching the 8-week hybrid course titled Of Borders, Rivers, and Time, A Journey into Creativity. He said he's proven the old adage, you can't go home again wrong. Quote, I'm thankful to Dr. Woodley and all of the wonderful professors there at UTPB who have welcomed me with open arms. They've been unbelievably helpful in putting together the lesson plan, end quote. Gatlin said in a phone interview. He added that he wants to impart to the students that wherever you grow up, the music can take you around the world and back again. Quote, Odessa, Texas is my hometown. Nashville, Tennessee is a wonderful home away from home, but it is good to be back, so I'm grateful for the opportunity, end quote, Gatlin said. He added that he feels most of what he's doing at UTPB is acting as a cheerleader for the students. Class is Monday night in person and online. He and his wife, Janice, fly in on Sunday. Gatlin credits his incredible teachers at Sam Houston Elementary, what was Hood Junior High, now Wilson and Young Middle School, and Odessa High School with his writing prowess. He had a chance decades ago to teach a master class at University of Texas at Austin. He and Janice lived in Austin at the time. Gatlin said he was asked to talk to the students about show business, what it was like, how you get into singing, and those kinds of topics. From there, he said, it kind of morphed into a class about songwriting. Clark Moreland, lecturer of English and director of the Heimerman Center for Engaged Teaching, said he helped get the class off the ground. Quote, Larry came to us last fall, and that was through the president, working with other leaders in the institution. We were just trying to figure out how to make this course work, and we met in here, and he started to talk about this song he had called Of Borders, Rivers, and Time. He actually sang it for us, and that ended up becoming the title of the course, end quote, Moreland said. They went through a lot of possibilities of what the course would be, but it ended up being a course in creativity. Quote, it's a junior-level music elective course, so about half the students in the classroom are music majors. The other half are from a variety of different fields, English, history, psychology, business. There's a good diverse group of folks in here. As I mentioned, we have several young people who have never heard of Larry Gatlin before, and you got some folks who love him and have always enjoyed his music, end quote, Moreland said. In the previous class, Gatlin taught students about harmony and singing in parts. The February 6th class was on songwriting and included a mock feedback session. It's about finding out what creative process works for students. Moreland added that this is a chance for Gatlin to offer feedback and interact with people on the individual and small group level and do it at home. Quote, that's a big thing for him. He's coming home and doing it for Odessa in Odessa. End quote, he added. At the end of the February 6th class, Moreland said students would get their final assignment and final exam instructions. The course ends March 6th. Quote, we're going to have a larger event where we invite some community members, friends, family, and we're going to give them a chance to perform the creative work that they began working on in this class. It's also a chance for them to talk about what they've learned in the class and a chance for Larry and us to show off how awesome our students are. He wants to encourage and cheerlead them and to tell them that, oh sure, you know, he's great. He's a gifted songwriter, but ultimately what he really wants to do here is inspire others to be creative, end quote, Moreland said. It's hoped there will be more chances to bring Gatlin back, but he said it's been a, quote, blast, end quote. He added that Gatlin is a heck of a teacher. He asks all the right questions that teachers ask, and, quote, he's got the heart for it, end quote. Luke Christensen, a junior in the class, is majoring in psychology with a music minor. He said his mother knew who Gatlin and the Gatlin brothers are. Quote, I have always kind of had a creative spirit. I started out my journey as a music major. Not here. I was actually in George Mason right outside of D.C. My dad has lived here for the last 15 years. I moved out here to finish my education, but I love songwriting and I love producing music. I would say that my main instrument is the computer. I do a lot of production work on the side, end quote, Christensen said. Quote, this is an awesome opportunity to enrich that process. I couldn't imagine not taking advantage of it when it's right in front of me, end quote, he added.
Hi, this is Christy. I'm continuing to read the Odessa American for Friday, February the 10th, 2023. Interim Downtown Director named by Kim Smith. An employee with the City of Odessa's Billing and Collections Department has been named the Interim Executive Director of Downtown Odessa. According to a news release from the city, Elizabeth Prieto has been in the billing department for 14 years. She has a bachelor's degree in history and a master's degree in public administration, both from the University of Texas at the Permian Basin. She is bilingual and has built strong relationships with many of the city's departments, outside agencies, and the community, the release stated. Prieto is taking the seat left vacant January 29th when Casey Hallmark turned in her two-week notice and was told her services were no longer needed. In her resignation letter, Hallmark said she didn't think the current climate was a good fit for her and she's accepted a position elsewhere. I was so proud and excited when I was hired for this position just over a year ago. Little did I know this would be the absolute best experience and at the same time, the absolute worst, Hallmark wrote. Hallmark made waves when she twice went before the Odessa City Council and claimed Mayor Javier Hoven and City Council member Chris Haney bullied her. She also filed a formal complaint with the city against Odessa Downtown board member Tisha Crow for calling her a disgrace on Facebook. City Human Resource Director Charles Hurst later said Hallmark had no recourse. She served as an executive director of Downtown Odessa for about a year. Hallmark recently announced the nonprofit organization, which is partially funded by the city, made $55,000 last year. Over the last 5 years, the organization had lost an average of $5,000 annually. Downtown Odessa is a volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to preserving and promoting downtown through events and recruiting businesses into the area. Odessan dies after being thrown from vehicle. A 33-year-old Odessa man was killed in a multiple vehicle crash at State Loop 338 and West 8th Street Wednesday night. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a Kenworth truck was stopped at a red light on the loop at 8th Street when a Dodge Ram rear-ended it. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a Kenworth truck was stopped at a red light on the loop at 8th Street when a Dodge Ram rear-ended it. The Kenworth traveled across the intersection onto the northbound lanes and struck a trailer being towed by a Freightliner. Felipe F. Oviedo Castillo, who was in the Dodge Ram, was thrown from the vehicle and struck by a Ford Escape that was being driven by a 39-year-old Odessa resident in the outside northbound lane. A DPS news release stated, Oviedo Castillo was pronounced dead at the scene of the incident, which took place around 7:30 p.m. It's unknown if he was wearing a seatbelt. The driver of the Dodge Ram, a 39-year-old man from Odessa, was taken to Medical Center Hospital in stable condition. No one else was injured, according to DPS. Legacy went into hold status for about an hour. A press release from Midland ISD detailed Legacy High School went into a hold status for about 1 hour on Thursday while Midland ISD police conducted an investigation. There was never an active threat to campus. The campus went into a hold status at 12:06 p.m. after a student reported to an administrator that they had heard a suspect police have been searching for might be on campus. Security cameras showed someone who possibly met the suspect's description, but no one was located. This suspect is the same student believed to have had a gun on campus Tuesday, though possession of a weapon has not been confirmed. There is a directive to apprehend the student, and they have been added to the Midland Police Department's runaway database. Several Midland police officers were participating in a workout with the football team as part of a community relations effort today as well. When the hold status was enacted, these MPD officers assisted MISD PD in their search. DPS and a Midland County Sheriff's Office investigator also responded. Under a hold status, hallways are cleared and students remain in their classrooms until the all clear is announced. Business goes on as usual. The hold status was lifted at 1:11 p.m. MISD is thankful to everyone involved for their swift response, including MPD officers who assisted while they were visiting campus. Students play a valuable role in keeping our schools safe by telling an adult immediately if they see or hear of a dangerous situation. They can also submit tips anonymously at anonymousalerts.com/MidlandISD or MidlandCrimeStoppers.com or by calling 432-694-8477. Sales tax checks up this month. The City of Odessa's February sales tax check, which reflects sales made in December, was up 16.7% compared to last year at this time. According to a City of Odessa news release, the city received a check of $6,691,698.62. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of one quarter center. The City of Odessa will receive $5,353,358.90, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $1,338,339.72. The year-to-date sales tax revenue for fiscal year 22 and 23 is up 32.44% or $5,819,823.74 compared to the budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 22-23 year-to-date amount is above the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $3,987,890.89 or 20.17%. The city has budgeted $44 million in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. Medical Center Hospital is scheduled to receive $5,206,455 in sales tax this month from December for February. That's about $800,000 more than this period last year. Odessan has manslaughter charge dismissed. An Odessa man indicted on intoxication manslaughter charge in 2020 pleaded guilty to misdemeanor driving while intoxicated February 3rd, and the more serious charge was dismissed. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Alan Adrian Aguirre, 23, was driving north on Tripp Avenue in a Nissan Murano on October 10, 2019, when he turned in front of motorcyclist Timmy Daniels, 54, and Daniels struck the rear of his vehicle. Daniels, who wasn't wearing a helmet, was pronounced dead at the scene, and an investigation revealed Aguirre was intoxicated. After entering his guilty plea, Aguirre was sentenced to 180 days in jail and given credit for 180 days he has already served by county court at-law judge Christopher Clark. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan declined to comment on the case Thursday. Hi, this is Christy. I'm continuing to read Odessa American for Friday, February 10th, 2023. Book of Thanks. Liz Harris Gerardo, Senior Director of Operations of YMCA of Midland, stopped by and met with Jonna D. Smoot on Wednesday to give West Texas National Bank a copy of Midland YMCA Book of Thanks, 2022. During the visit, Harris Gerardo shared a lot about the programs the Y offers and how much they gave out in financial assistance last year, $300,000. One of the stories in the book really stood out. It was from a single mom who has had a lot of odds stacked against her, but with the Y helping her to be able to work out along with her children being able to attend the Y, this mother is ready to tackle life and be the very best mom and person she can be. It was such a touching story, and we know that Harris Gerardo and the Midland YMCA have many more of those to share. Those interested can stop by and visit with Harris Gerardo and the Y. West Texas National Bank is a proud supporter of the Midland YMCA. Opal Lee, grandmother of Juneteenth, gets Texas portrait. The Associated Press. Austin, Texas, Opal Lee, the 96-year-old Texan, whose efforts helped make Juneteenth a federal holiday to commemorate the end of slavery in the U.S., became on Wednesday only the second black person whose portrait will hang in the Senate chamber of the state capitol. Lawmakers gave a lengthy standing ovation for Lee, who 2 years ago stood next to President Joe Biden as Juneteenth officially became the first new federal holiday since Martin Luther King Day was created in 1983. She had organized walks in cities across the U.S. as part of her campaign to have June 19th recognized as a federal holiday. Lee was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 2022. Her painting will join those of other celebrated Texas figures on the walls of the 135-year-old Capitol, where nearly a dozen Confederate markers remain in and around the building. Lee, who is from Fort Worth and often called the grandmother of Juneteenth, joins the late U.S. Republican Barbara Jordan as the only two black Texans to have portraits in the Senate chamber. Jordan's portrait was hung in 1973. Change somebody's mind because minds can be changed, Lee told reporters after the ceremony. If people have been taught to hate, they can be taught to love. And it is up to you to do it. Juneteenth commemorates June 19, 1865, when Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to enslaved black people in Galveston, Texas, 2 months after the Confederacy had surrendered. That was also about 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves in southern states. Lee, who began her advocacy to make Juneteenth a holiday at the age of 89, was lauded by senators from both parties who took turns praising her tenacity and legacy. Among them was State Senator Royce West, a Democrat who was one of two black senators in the 31-member chamber. Opponents of Confederate monuments at the state capitol have fought to remove them for years, and West said there still needs to be a discussion about which portraits were appropriate to remain in the state's Senate chamber and which should be in a museum's collection. You can't hide from the history of this state, West said. Rosalind Rowland, 62, was among the lively crowd gathered in the upstairs gallery to watch the unveiling. She said her family has organized Juneteenth celebrations for 150 years, but that last year was the first time they celebrated it as an official national holiday, thanks to Lee's work. This is probably the biggest Black history moment I'm going to ever have, Rowland said. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, a Republican who leads the Senate, told Lee, when she visited the Capitol in 2021, that her portrait should be hanging on the walls of the chamber. After the unveiling Wednesday, Lee said she wanted to do the whole dance the moment she saw the portrait, which was painted by Texas artist Jess Coleman. It was beautiful, she said. I didn't know I looked that good.
Hello, this is April, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, February 5, 2023. Pets of the Week. Boston, a 4-year-old male pit mix, and Tex, a 2-year-old male cat, need to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Boston or Tex, or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 432-257-4311, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $75. To help support HSO, donations are welcomed at tinyurl.com/279URB4S. Senior Centers, February 6 through February 10, 2023. North Side Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue, 337-5281. Weekdays, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The center has pool tables, dominoes, table games, and more. Monday, 10 a.m., exercise. Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., tax assistance. 1 p.m., bingo. Wednesday, 10 a.m., exercise. 1 p.m., busy hands. Thursday, 9 a.m., queenagers. 10:45 a.m., Spanish bingo. 11:30 a.m., card group. Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., tax assistance. 10 a.m., exercise. 1 p.m., bingo. South Side Senior Center, 900 South Dixie Boulevard, 337-4531. Weekdays, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The center has pool tables, dominoes, table games, and more. Monday, 10:30 a.m., exercise. 12:30 p.m., free lotería. Tuesday, 9:30 a.m., Spanish Bible study. 10 a.m., sunrise club. 10:30 a.m., exercise. Wednesday, 9:30 a.m., English Bible study. 10:30 a.m., exercise. Thursday, 10:30 a.m., exercise. 12:30 p.m., bingo. Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., tax assistance at North Side Center. 10 a.m., lotería. OA Life at oaoa.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. Midland Health, Drug Take-Back Program now available. Midland Health now offers a convenient, safe, and secure way for our community to dispose of unwanted OTC and prescription medications. Did you know storing unwanted and expired medications in the home increases the risk of misuse and places children, seniors, and pets at risk for accidental poisoning? Each year, more than $1 billion worth of leftover drugs are thrown in the trash, flushed, or relegated to medicine cabinets. When drugs are disposed of in the garbage, poured down the drain, or flushed, they end up in the environment. Even if they enter the sewage system first, pharmaceutical compounds reach wastewater treatment plants that are not designed to remove them. Unused medications in the home are a source of drug abuse in millions of homes, with the opioid crisis in the United States fueled in part by that availability. More than 70% of young people abusing prescription pain relievers get them through friends or family, including raiding the family medicine cabinet. Overall, more than 16,000 people die each year from overdoses involving prescription opioids. Our drug disposal unit, which is easily accessible in Midland Memorial Hospital, is a great answer to these problems, and it's simple to do. The drop box is located just inside the main emergency department entrance. All you do is come in, look for the big green receptacle, and deposit your meds. Drugs can be dropped off with no questions asked any time, any day. There are a few items we cannot accept, such as aerosol/inhalers, needles, liquids, and cream/lotions, but feel free to bring any other prescription or OTC medication. Properly disposing of unwanted meds is your chance to take part in stemming the opioid crisis and improving our water supply. Won't you join Midland Health in making ours the healthiest community in Texas?
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.